So we're talking about celebrating communion. And as I was thinking about the different ways we celebrate communion, from the ways that we celebrate other activities and events in our lives, I came to this conclusion. We celebrate communion differently because we come to the table for different reasons. Some of us come because we've recently experienced God's gift of salvation. And so there's more of an atmosphere of joy, celebration. Others maybe have gone through a very difficult week, and only through God's amazing love and His grace were we able to make it through the week. And so you might come with a very different attitude, one more of reverence and reflection. Some come to the table remembering all the blessings that they've received from Jesus, while others reflect on the great price that He paid for our sins in dying that most horrific and cruel manner. So which is the right way? How are we supposed to come to the Lord's table? Well, this morning I want to share with you some insights from God's Word, five different ways that you and I can come before to celebrate communion. And depending on the events and circumstances that happened this past week or this past month or that are consuming your minds throughout the week, they to a large degree determine how we come to the table. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to take them and turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 starts out this way, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. Isn't that what we do when we come to celebrate communion? We remember what Christ has done for us. And in this psalm, at least the first few verses, the psalmist remembers five specific benefits that he has personally experienced from God. Now, as we go through these five this morning, I want you to reflect and see if you can identify which one or which ones best relate to you where you're at today. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up here. After we celebrate communion, you will have an opportunity to share with each other which way you came to the Lord's table this morning. And we're going to do something a little bit different. When we come to our time of sharing, and I'm just pre-warning you, we're going to get into small groups of about 3, 4, or 5 people. And just take a few moments for you to share, this is how I came to the Lord's table. So think about that as we go through the message this morning. 5 ways that we come to the table. Number 1 is this. I come as the released. Let's keep reading in Psalm 103, verse 3, the very first part of verse 3. Who forgives all your sins. Communion is a time for us to remember, first and foremost, that Christ came to this earth for sinners, for you and for me. When we celebrate communion, we remember that at one time, each of us was held captive by our sins. You know, if I think about it, I'm guessing that many of us here today, in some way, are still held captive by some form of sin. We see it in the form of temptation, don't we? The temptation to lie, to gossip, to be lustful, to be arrogant, to be deceitful, to be greedy, to be self-centered. And the list can go on and on and on. And when we give in to those temptations, they hold us captive. But I've got great news for you. Jesus came to set the captives free. He died on the cross so that you and I could be released from that, from the sins that continually seem to plague us. And here's what happens when Christ releases us from the bondage of sin. We experience peace. We experience peace because we've been set free. We've been released. The sin which controls us is now gone. Through Jesus Christ, we have freedom. And the result of that freedom? Inner peace. Some of you this morning will come to the table with a quietness that only peace can bring. Others of you will come to the table a second way. You'll come as the restored. Let's keep reading the second half of verse 3. And he heals all your diseases. It's interesting. From the beginning of time, there's always been this strong connection between illness and our spirituality. I mean, think back to all of the miracles that Christ performed. Time and time again, he would tell them, your sins are forgiven, stand up and walk. Do you believe? Your sins are forgiven, you can see. And we see that theme over and over again. I think part of the point that David is making in Psalm 103 is this. Yes, on one level, he's talking about a physical healing. But I believe that on a much deeper level, he's referring to a spiritual healing. In fact, he talks about this in a different psalm, Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence and take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Did you catch that? When you and I are here healed spiritually, the joy of our salvation returns. I think every now and then we need to re-experience the joy of our salvation. Sometimes, at least I, if I'm honest with myself, take my salvation for granted. Celebrating communion is an opportunity for us to have the joy of our salvation restored. A burden which has been lifted from our shoulders. That means that some of you will come to the table with a renewed sense of joy and happiness. You'll come with a smile on your face and a song in your heart. We come as the restored. We come as the released. And number 3, we come as the redeemed. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit. That word redeemed, it's a very interesting word. The word redeemed was common and it was regularly used in the marketplace. It comes from the word to buy or to purchase. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that exactly what Christ did for us on the cross? He made a purchase on our behalf. He bought you and me. And in purchasing us, he paid a steep price. The price that he paid for you and me was his very life. You see, the Bible tells us that when we sin, there's a price for our sins. It's kind of a good news, bad news scenario, really. The good news is, no matter how terrible your sin is, the price is the same. Of course, the bad news is, no matter how little your sin is, the price is the same. You see, in God's eyes, sin is sin, no matter how big or how small we might deem it to be. All sin has the identical price, and that price costs a life. That's why it was so important for Jesus to sacrifice his life on our behalf. His death on the cross redeemed or purchased our life from the consequences of sin. Now, when I think about the way that Christ died on the cross, that he died for you and for me, that's a very sobering thought. One we don't take lightly. But you know, it goes much deeper than that. Christ not only bought us and paid for us with his life, he adopted us into his family. He didn't just pay for us and send us on our way. He paid for us and made us his children. Paul talks about this in Galatians 4. He says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, now here's the amazing part of it. Since you are a son, God has also made us an heir. An heir. Not just sons, daughters, but heirs. I don't know about you, but when I get a gift like that, that I don't deserve, it really humbles me. When Christ died on the cross, he gave me this gift that I did not deserve. It's the greatest gift I'm ever going to receive. Some of you this morning will come to the table recognizing that you received this great gift you didn't deserve. You'll come in humility. You'll recognize Christ's penalty for you and this great gift that should never have been given to you. Christ redeems our life. He purchases us not because we deserved it, but because he loves us. And so some of you will come to the table with this attitude of humility. There's a fourth way that we come. The last half of verse 4. And crowns you with love and compassion. Do you realize that one of the reasons that Christ died for us was so that he could crown us with love and compassion? This picks up on this theme of becoming an heir, receiving an inheritance. He did. When Christ sacrificed himself on the cross for you and me, he did it so that we would have this opportunity to enjoy this inheritance. The writer of Hebrews says this, that is why he is the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, so that all who are invited can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. You see, when I come to the table as one being rewarded, I come with an attitude of anticipation, of expectancy. Some of you this morning will capture that. Some of you will come to the table with this kind of energy and anticipation. I can hardly wait. When is Christ going to return? Oh, and what does he have in store for me? You see, when Christ died for us and rose again 3 days later, he promised us an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. When you come to the table, you come as receiving that great gift. Five ways we come to the table: the released, the restored, the redeemed, the rewarded, and finally, I come as the renewed. Let's take a look at verse 5 of Psalm 103. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Because of Christ's death and resurrection on the cross, we know that through Jesus, we have the power to face anything that comes our way. Anything. This morning, you may be facing a job situation that seems absolutely impossible, totally unworkable. You may be facing a relationship that is disintegrating as we speak with your spouse, your kids, your parents, your neighbors, other family members. Maybe your financial situation is so tough you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you're dealing with a serious health issue or someone you know is struggling with their health. And these are all consuming thoughts that you have throughout the day. I'm here to tell you that through Christ's death and resurrection, we have the strength and the power to face anything that comes our way. Anything. We can be completely confident with Christ that he is with us, strengthening us, giving us the power to carry on. Familiar verses in Isaiah 40 say this, he gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Some of you this morning will come to the table with a renewed confidence that God has everything under control. You will come to the table with a renewed sense of strength and purpose. You'll possess a new confidence because of what Christ has done for you and because of what He will do for you and the situation that you are facing. And so you will come knowing that God has everything under control. I want to ask the servers and the worship team to come forward to prepare as we celebrate communion. And while they're doing that, I want to leave you with one final thought. As you come to the table this morning, I want you to realize that others around you are also coming to the table. Realize that they may be coming in a very different way than you're coming. And that's okay. You may be coming in complete humility, while your neighbor may be coming full with joy and energy. I want you to understand their position. It's not right, or it's not wrong. It's their way of coming. And then I want you to respect how they come to the table. Even though they may be coming with a very different attitude than you are, they still come to the table remembering all that Christ has done for us. And in so doing, together, we can celebrate communion. As the bread and the cup are served, I want to encourage you to take the bread, eat it, pass the tray on to the person sitting beside you. The cup will come a few moments later. As it comes, take it, drink it, put the cup, the empty cup, back into the tray and pass it on to your neighbor as well. And I want to invite all of those who are living in a right relationship with God and with each other to celebrate communion with us as brothers and sisters, as family, together this morning. The Bible tells us this: the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift that You gave us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that He came to die on the cross for our sins, even though He was perfect and we are so imperfect. We remember this morning that His body was broken and that His blood was shed on our behalf, because of His great love. As we come to the table, Lord, may we remember one of these five aspects, knowing that You loved us so dearly and cared for us. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We leave this morning remembering all His benefits. Go with those remembrances. We're dismissed.